Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode 242 of the Alamo Audible podcast. As you can see from the title of this pod, after many, many years of trying to make it happen, we finally landed the big one, our white whale of guests that we wanted to have on the podcast. This is UTSA Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics, Dr. Lisa Campos, making her first appearance, hopefully not her last appearance, on the Alamo Audible podcast. This is your host, Jared Kalmus, joined as always by my co-host, Adrian Mutis. Adrian, thank you for coming along with me on this ride to get one of our number one priorities checked off the checkbox list as we head through this 2024 offseason.
Absolutely, man. What a treat to have Athletic Director Lisa Campos here on the podcast with us. Really, really incredible. You know, it's taken a lot of effort on our side reaching out. Jared really, really has pounded that drum trying to get the AD on the show. And she was generous enough to take some time out of her busy schedule to really have a very genuine, wholesome conversation with us. We got to learn a lot about Lisa's background and coming up into the sports world. I think a lot of people are going to be really, really surprised what her best track event was whenever she was an athlete. And I mean, just an incredible leadership that she's had here in the department over her time, batting 1,000 on her coaching hires. And hopefully that trend continues with this latest one, which we discussed on the last episode that we dropped. So please do tune in to the basketball episode here. But we did get to talk to Lisa as well. And we recorded this episode before, of course, the coaching turnover happened with basketball. But we did get to talk to her about her process in evaluating coaching talent and how she goes about hiring these coaches. And she's done such a great job of it. And not just that, but she's done a great job of boosting the department also academically. You know, we've got incredible academic success with our student athletes. We've done an unbelievable job fundraising. We talk about new facilities being built. I mean, Lisa has really spearheaded so much growth here at UTSA, and it's really, really fascinating to hear the insight behind it and how her and Taylor Amy really partnered together to bring that dream that we all had as Roadrunners fans into a reality now.
Yeah, definitely. Throughout this conversation, I was kind of thinking back to what UTSA athletics were like when Adrian and I were in school, you know, early 2010s. It's just a light years difference. You know, we had that one mention of there were two different sporting events being streamed in 4K on ESPN Plus at the same time, you know, a couple hundred feet away from each other on campus. I mean, there was no streaming when we were in school. Like, if men's basketball was in Conference USA TV, that felt like a revelation. You know, then now have these like two like ESPN high quality TV television kind of premium broadcast just on a daily basis. It's really spoiling us as fans, you know, but great to see the growth. And it was really cool to get some insight from Lisa as well about what went into making that happen, right? Because I mean, it's just a monumental task. I can't remember who it was, but someone in the athletics department posted a picture of like their broadcast center, command center, whatever it's called, the other day. It's like space age technology, man. It's super cool. So that was really cool to hear about.
Yeah, and I appreciate how honest and candid she is talking about, hey, look, we know as a department we could be a little bit more public facing and let you guys in on some more stuff. And so, you know, I just appreciate her being up front and letting us know, hey, we're gonna try to get in front of you guys a little bit more and be more public facing. But you have to understand the amount of work that they're doing behind the scenes, how far she goes out of her way to be around student athletes, which most athletic directors do not. And Ali, man, the proof is in the pudding. Look at how much he's got done here. And it's really incredible. And Jared, you, I mean, coming full circle, you know, once upon a time, a previous athletic director hit Jared with a cease and desist for covering UTSA.
Yeah, true, true.
And now we've got the current athletic director on the podcast talking with us about our coverage for UTSA. And so, just awesome, man. It really, really is incredible. But I mean, there's big, big things that she's already got done and so many more that she has on our to-do list. And so really incredible teasers from Lisa Campos talking about what her goals are and what the future is still building the behemoth that is UTSA athletics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Speaking of teasers, Adrian has been hard at work on our merch store on Alamo Audible. And in my opinion, I think we're about to drop some of the finest merch items that we've ever released. Adrian, you want to talk a little bit about what we've got in store for the good folks?
Yes, 100%. So upcoming weekend here, baseball will be entering conference play, the conference schedule. And so, you know, our most favorite part of our team store, at least from our audience, from our fans, has been our fantastic hats that we provide here. We really do have what I would describe as the perfect snapback here at Alamo Audible. And this is coming from a religious hat wearer, an even more religious fitted hat wearer. But this snapback that we have here, the model that we have, is just unbelievable, with the green undervisor, perfect fit with the high crown. And we've got this awesome new design that we did take inspiration from a lot of in-state professional MLB teams. We took some inspiration from old Rangers and Astros logos, and we put it together with our own spin for UTSA and San Antonio, really trying to get the city represented a little bit better, the state represented. And what we've got in store is just unbelievable stuff, man. So have your calendars marked for this weekend, by the time you're listening to it, this weekend. We're going to have some insane merch drops coming. We've got new hats, new shirts, new performance wear coming out. And man, dude, and it's just the beginning of it. You know, we're still doing some construction behind the scenes, but I've got the product in hand, just absolutely blown away. And again, tremendous shout out to our creative director, head of graphic design, Aaron Livingston, again, delivering just bangers for the graphics that we've got here. And so keep your eyes peeled. It's going to be nice. If you're in our Patreon, I'll have some teasers for you guys in the Patreon chat. And so really, really excited about it.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm stoked for people to get their hands on it. The few people that have seen some sneak peeks for over the moon. So be on the lookout for that. And speaking of Patreon, I want to say thank you to everyone who continues to support us on Patreon, helping us grow to the point where we have the athletic director on the podcast, man. What a cool journey it's been for us. And we have no plans to slow down. Without giving too much away, there's more where this came from. So stay tuned. We got more high profile guests in the works. We're going to have to get this new basketball coach on too. We'll have to make that happen.
And make sure you listen to all those great, fantastic guests that we've already had. We had Ronald Ellis, the marching band director. We had Jamori Robinson from the football team. And dude, it's just rolling. It is just rolling right now. Star-studded guest here. And so, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Make sure you tune in to all that coverage, man. We got an off-season full of content for you guys. You know, no reason to tune out just because football is not playing.
Yep. About to have our first ever track and field interview as well. Ooh. Which I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. We've got some photo coverage of the most recent UTSA Invitational as well. So, you know, we're constantly branching out and doing new things thanks to all of your support. And that includes our Board of Trustees members, Digi Teak, John Albwell, Leonardo Perez of Los Dos Rowdy Tailgating, Gary and Ruben represented UTSA Bird Gang Tailgate, Ray Redding at Meet Me Apparel, Brandon Grill and the Grill Realty Group, Andy Elizada at Proficient Benefit Solutions, Ian McClendon at Seeker LLC, Ryan Squares, Waterman Construction, Javon Townsend, VP of the DFW Chapter of the UTSA Alumni Association, UTSA Annual Giving, and Artisan Vapor and CBD. And last but certainly not least, thank you as well to our big money donors, including Ben Tovar, the Bunch Family, Zach Esperdecueta on the San Antonio Podcast Network, Alejandro Benavides, Dan Erdahl, host for On the Birdbath, Jacob Cavazos, Board President for the UTSA Alumni Association, John Nally, Brandon Padron, and Rick Cortez of Rowdy Road Grillers. So thank you guys all so much for your support. We really feel the love each and every day. And without further ado, we'll go ahead and hit a quick Cumbia break and then jump into our interview with Dr. Lisa Campos.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lisa Campos, Athletic Director, Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics, UTSA, for joining the Alamo Audible podcast today. It really, really is a pleasure, and we really appreciate your time. We know you've got an insanely busy schedule on the day-to-day, so it means a lot to us.
Thank you for having me. It's really special to, as we were talking pre-show, that it's first time in my tenure here, so I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah,
I got a little jealous. I saw the athletic director at East Carolina does a State of the Union podcast with an ECU podcast every year. I was like, okay, like, what are we doing here? Let's make something happen. But thank you so much for taking time. We're really excited, as you can tell.
Yeah, excited to be with you guys.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And quite the tenure you've had here already. It really has been home run after home run. And but before we get into your UTSA tenure, I'd love to kind of go a little bit further back and talk about sort of your background in climbing the ladder in athletics administration and your recruitment to UTSA.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of people have heard, you know, I grew up in a really small town in Southeast Colorado. 48 were my graduating class. But I did my undergrad and graduate work at Colorado State University and had this idea of, you know, I thought my career was going to be in student affairs and I'd be a vice president for student affairs. My first job out of grad school was as an assistant dean of students. I was doing all the campus disciplines, student success initiatives at UTEP in El Paso, Texas, and played sports in high school, was not talented enough to be a Division I student athlete, but I just really enjoyed my time at CSU, and they were such ahead of their time in serving first generation students that it really offered me an opportunity to be to work in higher education and to see the value of that. So after a couple of years of working in student affairs, I had a really good friend who said, "Hey, Lisa, there's a job opening in athletics. Why don't you come on over?" And I said, "I have no experience in intercollegiate athletics. Why would I do that?" And one thing led to another. And I'm forever grateful to Bob Stoll. He was a former football coach and then turned AD at UTEP. And he just really saw something in me that I didn't and poured into me, helped develop me. I was sharing with someone the other day, the Baylor AD, the Boise AD, myself, the Nevada AD, we all worked at UTEP for Bob Stoll. So he says a lot about how he really developed his staff and we all worked together and it was a great time there. So, you know, I thought I'd be at UTEP for forever, met my husband there. We were really happy in El Paso, Texas. Like I said, Bob saw something in me and Northern Arizona University had an AD opening. I had never applied for an athletic director job. And he really encouraged me to do that. And I thought, what's the chances of the first AD job I ever apply for that I would actually get it? And one thing led to another. And all of a sudden, I'm being hired at Northern Arizona University as the athletic director. Wow. Was there for 5 years, had my son there in Flagstaff. We were very happy there. Great. You know, reminded me a lot of Colorado. It was a mountain town. It snowed. We got four seasons. Great athletics program. We won a national championship in cross country, first national championship in the school's history. So things were going really well. And then a search firm recruited me to come learn more about UTSA. And I've told the story that I didn't know a ton about UTSA. And so the first couple times they reached out, I said, "No, I'm happy here at NAU." And they kept reaching out and they said, "Just come look at it." And I flew out here and met with a lot of great people. Went back. UTEP job was actually open. They were recruiting me to UTEP. Dr. Amy flew me back out here to UTSA. And then I realized, you know, they were really strategic. They brought me in to San Antonio and put me in a hotel, and that's where all the interviews happen. I didn't come onto the campus. I didn't know my office was off campus. They were really smart about that. And so
strategic is one word for sure.
Classic recruiting tactic at UTSA for a long time.
So I actually Ubered myself, or had an Uber bring me to campus. And I, you know, you never know who you're going to run into. And I came in sweats and in a ball cap, and I walked around campus and it was dark, but I stopped students and asked them what they thought of athletics and what their experience was with the university, and just wanted to get a sense of it. But I'll tell you, the reason I'm here is once I met with Dr. Amy, I knew I wanted this job. I saw his vision. I saw how invested he was going to be in athletics. And I went home and said, you know, I went from knowing a little bit about this job to I'm going to be crushed if I don't get this job. And he knew I was going to interview at UTEP. And he said, Lisa, I'm going to get you a contract in the next 24 hours, cancel that interview with UTEP. You're going to be a Roadrunner. And he made good on his word. And here I am.
Wow.
I've never heard many parts of that story before. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Andrew and I keep a running list of what ifs for UTSA, you know, like what if UTSA moved into this conference instead of the other and stuff like that. So we'll have to add that to the list. What if Dr. Campos ends up at UTEP instead of UTSA?
Oh my gosh. Brutal. That would be crushing. Yeah,
fall out of that. Crushing. So you mentioned that you played basketball in high school, and I have seen some clips on social media of you shooting some jump shots. Pretty solid. Pretty solid. I'll have to admit.
For sure.
Is basketball your favorite sport to watch at UTSA? Well, maybe I shouldn't say UTSA, because it's like picking your favorite child.
Yeah, come on, Jared. Don't get me in trouble. You know what? I was most talented in basketball. That's probably where I could probably have played Division II basketball. I didn't know how the process worked and all that was, but I was recruited, to some of the junior colleges in division. But I'll turn it back on you. You might have watched a podcast where I shared this. I made the state track me, and I'll let y'all guess what the event was that I made state in.
Ooh. Ow.
I'm gonna guess 800 meter.
I was gonna think that half mile as well, but if it's related to basketball, I don't know. Were you a hurdler?
Long jump.
Oh, long jump. Yeah, I was saying, gotta be jump related.
Five foot nothing. I made it to state my freshman year in the long jump. And when I showed up to Denver, Colorado, where the state meet was happening, everyone was 6 foot something, and I knew it was going to go downhill from there.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive. Have you said you loved the four seasons. Have you got used to two seasons now, being in San Antonio for
six? I have. You know, I lived in El Paso, Texas for 12 years.
Right, right.
You know, it's a little bit different. It's a more dry heat there. But yeah, no, we do visit Colorado in the summers when it's really humid and hot here. But no, we really love Colorado, or love San Antonio, and love the, you know, like, it's so great. It's so nice outside right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I do miss those trips to the Sun Bowl. I'll take this opportunity to pitch that out of conference, because I do miss the UTEP series. I'm sure you do as well. Hopefully may change in the future. We'll see. El Paso is a great place. So.
It is.
So going into now, you know, the growth of the athletics program, of course, has just exploded in your time here, across facilities, the success of so many different programs, new coaches. When you look at now 2024, what are some of your priorities? What are some of the department priorities for 2024?
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about it before the recording, that when I first got to UTSA, and again, they didn't show me campus, when I was driving my very, very first day, when I was driving to the office, my GPS was taking me away from campus, and I called a colleague and said, hey, I must have the wrong directions. And they said, no, Lisa, your offices actually aren't on campus. And I couldn't believe it. And so we really have come a long way. And that was the vision, is how do we get how do we create the hub of UTSA athletics? And that's really where it started, with this facility, right? That with this beautiful facility I'm in now at the race. And but I heard it, you know, from the very start, my first day, I heard it from coaches, from student athletes, Lisa, you have to focus on facilities. So that's what we've been focused on. And to answer your question, in 2024, we're going to continue to be focused on facilities, and our move to the American. Like, you people have heard me say it, we don't want to just be in the American. We want to be competitive in the American. And that's going to take more resources. That's going to take more support, you know, whether it's nutrition, whether it's Alston money, whether it's recruiting dollar, it's going to take all of that travel. You know, most schools are chartering men's and women's basketball. We're doing a little bit of that for the first time this year. So there, it's going to be increasing, you know, our profile through being competitive in the American and finding those resources to do it.
As UTSA has grown and grown and grown, and of course your schedule is busy every single day, but the scope of sort of your day-to-day operations, how much has that changed as UTSA has grown?
Yeah, you know what? It's balancing it, right? I got into this for the student athletes. Like, you know, again, I'm a first generation college graduate. My passion is serving students. So I want to spend as much time with the students as I can. I want to spend as much time supporting coaches as I can. But then there's the external constituents, right? I got to go raise money. We got to work with the county, with the city, with the Alamo Dome being a city facility. So every day is different, but I never lose sight of why we're here. And it's really for our 18 to 22 year olds who are representing us and who are getting a degree and an education while they're playing a sport that they love.
Yeah. So huge news just this past week with, you know, the $57 million investment into facilities at UTSA. But, you know, outside of what's kind of on the roadmap, so to speak, for the facility enhancements, pretty major enhancements to the baseball facility recently that caught us all by surprise. We really had no idea that was coming. Can you share a little bit about how that kind of came to be and, you know, the challenges that came about and, you know, any future plans maybe as well?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we got to do a better job on bragging on the things that we've been doing. We just put our head down and we're right. Just working and getting
the results speak for themselves.
That's right. So, you know, I made a commitment, like I said, when I first got here from student athletes to coaches, hearing, Lisa, you got to focus on facilities. And, you know, again, starting with this facility, but we made a commitment 5 years ago or 6 years ago when I first started here is that we put together a Roadrunner game plan. And in there, we said every single one of our sports, we're going to do some sort of upgrade to their facilities. And we did that in the last 5-6 years. We have done something for every one of our single sports. And softball and baseball have been one of the last ones here that getting the new stands, getting the new padding, getting the turf out there. So it's, you know, something that was much needed, but we're not done. We got a lot more work to do with those programs and with some of our other programs that's what that $57 million announcement we're really excited about. You know, I think in part of that too is we lose sight again, not bragging ourselves that in the last 5 years, we have put in over $63 million of facility improvements. Wow. With this facility, with Park West, with our ESPN Plus infrastructure and equipment. But like I said, we've done something for all sports, from tennis to golf, to volleyball, to the basketball, locker rooms. We've done something for all of our student athletes, and that was really important to us.
Actually, great segue into my next question. I was going to ask about the ESPN Plus streaming. I don't think many people understand what goes into that process of being able to run 4K live streams across multiple facilities on campus. Can you share a little insight into the work that was done?
Sure.
At some day this week, I think there was a softball and a women's basketball game both being streamed at the same time at ESPN Plus, and I had to take a step back. I'm like, that's cool. A long yeah, way. Adrian and I have been here since there were no streams at all. So
right. Absolutely. But I'd love to have you all come over and see the transformation that's happened. I probably can't speak to every single aspect of it, but all I know is it has taken a ton of teamwork. It's taken campus partners. But to really plan this out, and this has been a couple of years in the making. We knew going into the American Athletic Conference, we were going to have to make an upgrade in our streaming capabilities. And it's the right thing to do. We want to get our brand out there. And, you know, as you said, to think about the infrastructure of this, that UTSA, this race facility is the hub for our production and our broadcast. And so cables had to go from this facility all the way to softball, all the way to baseball, to the Convocation Center. We're doing something for track and field. I could not even technologically explain that, but there's going to be an ability to do that at track and field. And you know, and things come up, right? Whenever we were doing this for baseball, you guys might have recalled, it's pretty amazing. And for those who do this can geek out on it, but there's the way they like drill this hole, right, is with water to make the conduit, you know, for the materials to go through. And I don't know if you all recall the baseball field, it was pretty saturated. We had a ton of rain. We were doing, you know, getting the conduit, and all of a sudden the center field kind of exploded. And that was all part of this ESPN project. And we were like, what just happened? Like,
whoa. Right before the season too.
Yeah. Right before the season.
Yeah.
Right before season. And I give a lot of props to Coach Hallmark. I know internally he was stressing out. I know he lost sleep, But he just took every day, you know, he just kept plugging away. We found other places to practice, but it's all worth it, right? At the end, that to be able to stream that way. And then you think about, you know, how we're getting the content out to really this nation internationally. Mm-hmm. We've had people talking about how they've watched it internationally. So it's a huge undertaking. Wow. And a lot of thanks to people who worked on that.
That's incredible. And the turnaround to have that field repaired, it was a pretty phenomenal effort as well. And we got to see the story behind that. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, our grounds people, I don't know how they did it, but you couldn't even tell when people came on the field. You had no idea that it just exploded.
Yeah, but it's awesome. You know, from the days of no streaming to CUSA TV and then ESPN Plus with one or two cameras to now seeing it grow, it really is incredible. All this talk about facilities, we are enormous Alamo Dome proponents here. We love the Alamo Dome. I think most of our fans do. And we had that contract, I guess, for another 10 years. UTSA downtown on track for 10,000 students to be down there. And that whole expansion, right? We sort of brought the campus to the stadium. What is the long-term future for UTSA football venue when you look 10, 15 years out? I mean, is it on-campus stadium? Is it UTSA buys the Alamo Dome? Do we continue to renew that contract and keep it at the city venue? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and even if you talk to Coach Traylor, like, that's a huge recruiting tool for us. Our fans love it. It's mm-hmm. indoor. We could never replicate what's happening in the Alamo Dome from a hospitality perspective, from a covered facility perspective. Never say never, right? If someone came and handed us $300 million to build one on campus, we'd probably have to consider that. But what we have now, we love it. The city's so great to work with. It's a great setup for us. And I think there are some people who would love to have it on campus. We understand that, but it's, you know, look at how full we can get that stadium. And we talk about the students have figured out how to get downtown. It's great for the city. It's great for the downtown. And it's 72 degree weather. And when you go to, if anyone went to that Houston game, you know, you melted, or if you went to the Tulane game, you're freezing out there. So there's something to be said about being indoors, and Jeff likes it. He loves it. Actually, the players love it. And, that's home for a while for sure. And we have so many other projects to focus on, that why mess up a good thing? That's home right now.
So I always challenge people that want an on-campus stadium to go visit some of the other stadiums out there. They might
change of our peers, team, right? Of
people
our peers,
don't know how good we have it.
Yeah, yeah, or even Houston, you know, in a Big 12. I mean, you know, it was a miserable game watching experience. And you know, we've got seat back chairs, we've got the album, and then the home field advantage, right? You don't get that noise in an outdoor stadium. You talk about the Houston game. How about the Houston game in 2022 when we drew however many false starts that we did from the noise?
That's right.
You know, and it's just
with our fake place. Noise, with our captain noise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's also this thing for Texas kids who have playoff games there and that have big stakes there whenever they're in high school. It's, you know, it's this big grandiose arena to them. And it's so cool to then have that be your home stadium whenever you get to UTSA. So we love it. We want to keep the Alamo Dome forever. And you've mentioned the names, you know, Pat Hallmark, Jeff Traylor, let's throw Karen Aston in there. You're batting 1,000 on your coaching hires. It's really phenomenal. What goes into your evaluation process when hiring coaching talent?
Yeah, great question. So for me, you know, I always look for someone who, if they've had sitting head coach experience, that's a bonus. If not, you know, who's been around a winning program, who has felt it, who has experienced it, who knows what it looks like. Obviously, we want coaches who are in for the right reasons, that they care about student athletes, they care about developing 18 to 22 year olds. They know how to work within the community. But, you know, it's a ton of reference checking. This world is small. We can call a lot of people and get the inside scoop on folks. But, you know, those hires have been no brainers. Like they're in it for the right reasons. They're super competitive. Coming into UTSA as we're up and coming, as we're growing, as we still need to work on, you know, building our budget and building our facilities, we're hiring coaches who they're not going to use that as an excuse. that they're going to go beyond that. They're going to go recruit hard. They're going to coach hard, and they're going to find players who have, you know, blue collar mentalities, who really, you know, regardless of what the training facility is, they're going to go work hard every day and try to win championships for the university.
When you find that candidate that you like and y'all really hone in and target, you know, and y'all are dedicated to, you know, that's our person, that's who we want. Or is it sort of a moment through that interview process where sort of the light bulb goes off and y'all say, we want this person?
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you a story about Coach Traylor. And I guess I had never really shared it with him until recently. When we were hiring Coach Traylor, you know, in my mind, I had a lot of candidates, and not in my mind, on the list, we had a lot of sitting head coach candidates. They had coached at P5, they coached at G5. And as Taylor and I met with these candidates, like there was just, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling the energy. Just, you know, it wasn't feeling right. But they all kept talking about Jeff Traylor. And to Todd Turner, the consulting firm, they had actually had Jeff's name to me. And when he looked at them in paper, it's like, oh, okay, let me look at these sitting head coaches. But all of them just kept talking about Jeff Traylor. And so he, you know, was a dark horse. So he was not at the top of our list at the beginning. We went through some other folks before we got to him. But again, I wasn't feeling the connection with any of those coaches. And when Jeff interviewed within the first five minutes, I wanted to tell President Amy, this is our guy. Like in my mind, I was like, this is our coach. I feel the energy, I feel the passion. He's competitive. He knows how to build culture. Like this is the guy. And I think he felt that as well in the interview. I think he had won me over. He recognized that. And then he had to work on President Amy.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's not all just, you know, X's and O's and analytical and resume, but there was intangibles, right? And that intangible quality came out in that interview, and you sort of knew it right away, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and outside of like kind of the on-field coaches, there's been a lot of really strong hires like within the athletic department recently for administration roles. And the resumes for some of the folks that you brought in recently are really impressive. But what impresses me, I think, more than anything is how many women are in leadership roles within your athletic department. So it sounds like an interesting parallel with the athletic director that was a Stoll at UTEP. Mm-hmm. What's your perspective and what... I guess, how do you go about, you know, raising and mentoring women to step into an athletic director role, right, as a career goal? I'm sure there's a lot of women in the industry who look up to you as a role model for that.
Yeah. Well, let me back up a little bit and talk about the hiring of staff. You know, I was always taught hire people who are better than you and make, you know, you can give them an assignment. I can have the vision, they can execute it. And that's kind of been the secret sauce, right? We really have found people who are so good at what they do. And I said this a few days ago that UTSA, what the caliber of folks we were getting applying for a position, they just didn't know anything about UTSA 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now we are a destination. Now the candidate pool is so deep. With quality candidates, people want, they see what we're doing. They want to be a part of it. It's so exciting. So that's been really fun to watch over the last 5 to 6 years. But in terms of just, you know, it's Women's History Month. So that's fitting here in March that, you know what, for both our men and women, really, it's finding out what do you want to do in this career, and how do we help you get there, and how do we help develop those skills? You know, again, working for Bob, he hired you to do a job, but if you wanted to do 10 other things, he was going to allow you to do it as long as you got the core job done. And that's what we really try to model here, is that, you know, we want to develop you. You need to speak out about, do you aspire to be an athletic director? Do you aspire to be a director of compliance? What is your aspirations? And let us help you get there. We never want to lose anyone to UTSA, but we also know that people want to move along in this business. So it's hiring the right people, mentoring them, understanding what their goals and objectives are, and giving them that support.
Wow. When you look so far at the time you spent at UTSA, what's one or two of your proudest accomplishments thus far?
Oh, that one's hard. That's really hard. I think it's, again, it goes back to the people. Like, this is, I've just been blessed to be surrounded by incredible people, starting with Dr. Amy, right? Like, for him to give me a chance to lead this program, to see his vision and to be able to capitalize on the successes we're having, and to bring national exposure to UTSA and UTSA athletics. But it's always gonna be about the people and about our student athletes. And I know it sounds cliche, but you know, in grad school, I'll never forget a professor saying, the higher you get in the organization in higher ed, the less contact you're going to have with students. And I remember sitting there thinking, I don't want that to be me, because that's what drives me every day. So whether it's going to the games, going to a practice, hanging out in the weight room or in the training room, like getting to know the students and learning their stories and why they're here, what they want to accomplish, that's been that's fulfilling to me. But building facilities like this obviously are a huge highlight, because it goes back to supporting our students, to supporting our coaches, and we want to retain and recruit the best, and these are the things that are helping us do that. And then of course winning the championships and in the different sports, and you know, all of those accolades, it's, you know, even women's basketball, to think that a couple of days ago we could have been in the bottom four or the top four, like the parity in that. And we did what we needed to do. We got some help from some other teams, and we are in the top four in the American and get a double bye. And so it's just really fun watching coaches just pour so much into their teams, into the program, and see those results.
That's incredible. So it sounds like you really go out of your way to try to be around the student athletes as much as you can, right? And now that we've got that great race facility, you're able to be in the same building as them. Are you getting in some workout time with the women's basketball team, with the football team? Is Dr. Campos busting some squats with the
I will tell you, I made the mistake one day of going down the weight room, and our strength coaches got hold of me and they said, Lisa, we're doing a quick workout, why don't you join us? And they got me on a bike, and I don't know what we were doing, but I was trying to be a tough guy. I didn't want them to see that I was dying. I'm like, I'm going to finish this workout with these young strength coaches. And I went from the weight room back to my office and ran into some of my colleagues that I was bright red. And they're like, are you dying right now? I'm like, don't tell anyone.
It always amazes me how those quick workouts for fitness junkies are like 90 minutes long. It's like, what are your long ones like? That's insane. Right. Well, on the flip side of Adrian's question, what's the one thing that you still have on your to-do list that kind of keeps you up at night a little bit, that, you know, once you get that one checked off, you can kind of, you know, wipe your hands and say, okay, I've done all the major things that I set out to do.
Oh, Jared, there's a list. There's not just one thing. There is such a list. And that's the fun part, right? There's so much opportunity. Mm-hmm. We're so young. We're just, you know, ascending here. And whether it's from facilities, you know, winning championships in the American, you know, continuing to graduate our student athletes, there is so much work ahead of us. We just, you know, we want to be competitive, and we want to build these buildings, and we want to build our budgets, and we want to position ourselves. You know, it wasn't by coincidence we got invited to the American, right? That was years of work. That was putting a plan together, positioning ourselves to be invited. And you know, we don't know what the next reiteration of conference alignment looks like, but we have to position ourselves now. And you think about it, this is next year, UTSA has a legitimate shot of getting into the CFP playoff. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine how amazing in our short 14th season to be in a playoff, and no pressure on Coach Traylor and the team. But we really have a legitimate shot. Like, it's the first year with the expansion of, you know, the highest G5 conference champion is going to get that spot in there. And why not UTSA?
Why not? Why not? It's incredible, because whenever we were here and the football team was first starting, everyone would always say, it's a sleeping giant. It's a sleeping giant. It's a sleeping giant. And now over the last 3-4 seasons, we've been able to see that giant open up its eyes and wake up. Right.
Absolutely.
And it's just starting to stretch out. I don't even think it's rolled out of the bed yet. And so there's just so much more for it to do. And it's incredible. And you talk a lot about you and President Amy and this grandiose vision. Can you elaborate a little bit how Amy sort of positioned that big vision to you whenever you got to UTSA, and how it's been working together and making this a reality?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he just it was very clear to me when I met with him, he was going to invest in athletics, that he understood where, how athletics can be such a powerful thing for an institution. You know, and I tell people this all the time, that America places a high value on sport, whether we like it or not. We place a high value on sports. So my job is, how do we capitalize on that for the institution? Like, it's it, whether we like that or not, we can capitalize on this obsession, right? And it's a national exposure. And, you know, we've done some market data, and it's very evident that UTSA Athletics is bringing exposure, national, regional exposure, to the institution. And so Dr. Ramey saw that. He saw what athletics could do. He wanted a very successful athletics program, and he's put a lot of resources into it. You know, that I'm really fortunate that he cares very deeply, has found the resources, and he's helped us recruit some of the coaches. You know, he plays a big part.
And players too, I think.
And I was gonna say, and some of our student athletes. You know, he's just so accessible. He's at the games. He knows our student athletes, and it's just a real privilege to work for a president like that.
Wow.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Well, I mean, it's all hand in hand, the academics, the athletics, and we've seen it happen. You know, it's no coincidence that UTSA makes it to tier one right about the same time that we're climbing the conference ladder, right? I mean, it's incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can't remember which episode it was, but I was listening to the Birds Up podcast from the Alumni Association, and they had a professor on there who said that they had gotten reached out about a role at UTSA, and they'd never heard of UTSA. And then the next day, the UTSA football team was on ESPN, and that's what led them to getting this job at UTSA, you know. So that exposure is truly priceless. But Lisa, I was curious, what's your both favorite part and biggest challenge of being athletic director at the Division I level?
Oh, that's a great question. So my most favorite part, again, I'm going to always go back to the students, that this is why I got into higher education, whether it's in sports or not. Just watching, you know, I get the privilege of watching these students when they're 15, 16 years old, thinking about coming to UTSA, coming on their campus visits, and then watching them just progress from, you know, really young, maybe sometimes immature 18-year-olds to like these really mature 22-year-olds leaving with a degree in hand. We see them, you know, just persevering. We see, you know, them performing in front of thousands of people in the stands. And it's those stories that just keep me going in higher ed generally. The toughest, you know, I think it is, we serve so many constituents, right? And we, everyone has, it's like unbridled expectations, right? We need to graduate at 100%. We need to have every facility done by next year. We need to be raising $100 million every year. That there's just some really unbridled expectations. But that's the fun part of it too, that we're going to continue to be challenged, you know, getting these facilities done, doing the fundraising, getting people on board, that will continue to be a great opportunity for us.
I think one of the biggest things that has really streamlined a lot of this growth for UTSA has been the ties with the city of San Antonio getting stronger and stronger, it seems like, every single year. And now we're getting bond dollars and city dollars invested into UTSA facilities. That's been an incredible thing to watch. You know, we used to dream about, you know, being the city's university and having these ties, you know, the Roadrunners being the Spurs fan favorite football team, right? And the San Antonio Locals favorite football team. Can you speak on sort of seeing that community tie get stronger and stronger, and how has that happened over the years?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. You know, when you talk about, you know, where you spend your time, just spending it with the county, spending it with the city. And I've never seen it anywhere like this, where, you know, and it's the San Antonio way, that people really partner, and it's not these superficial partnerships. It is a true partnership, and for them to help fund this facility, Park West, but in return, we are bringing so many youth, so many organizations through these facilities, and it truly is a great partnership. And then I think, you know, when obviously winning helps, and Jeff has been such a great ambassador for this institution. And I don't know if anyone in San Antonio who doesn't know Jeff, who doesn't know Frank Harris, like, you know, Rashad, that they've just been such great ambassadors for our institution and have gotten people on board. And then, you know, when we rolled out the Let's Go 2-1-0 and kind of declared, this is your team, like this is San Antonio's team. And our aspirational vision is actually to transform lives as San Antonio's nationally recognized Division I program. Like you see that everywhere in our building, that's our aspirational vision, and we're getting there. But for, you know, the mayor last year, the county last year, and then the state of Texas this year to declare Let's Go 2-1-0 and proclaim it. I mean, you don't see that in the city, you know, the seventh largest city in the country. You don't see it happening in cities this large. And it just shows how much people care about UTSA, how much they care about UTSA athletics. And we're going to continue to, you know, Let's Go 2-1-0. This is San Antonio's team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been organic. It's been a real organic growth, right? And SA, you know, it's in the university title, and I think that goes a long way. People have a real pride about San Antonio.
For sure.
It still blows my mind to meet current students or like recent alumni at UTSA who grew up watching UTSA football, and that was their entry point into becoming a student. I just, whoa, like yeah. That still blows my mind. It's so cool. I'll let Adrian ask the last question, as it's his special question. His special.
Hey, Jared, before he goes there, I'm going to go back to one of the hardest things about being the AD. I got to clone myself. That's the thing I need to do. Particularly now that we have golf, men's, women's golf, men's and women's tennis, softball, baseball, men's and women's basketball, and track and field all going on at the same time right now. This is the time of year everything overlaps. So that's what I need, is a clone, a few clones of myself.
Looking at the all sports schedule last week. I was like, there's like 30 events this week.
Yeah.
Right. I live on campus at this time of year.
Yeah. Well, you've got space now there in
that's the right. Office.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Whether it's post workout or stay in the night.
I think you have an air mattress in there somewhere.
That's right. I got my couch.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you've been in San Antonio for 6 years. So, I mean, we'd be remiss as we like to ask all of our guests in San Antonio this question. Whenever you're not on campus, what is your favorite place to go eat? San Antonio.
I need to have a better answer for this because I don't get out very often. You know, we're always just here and athletics is a lifestyle, but I will tell you that where I typically go for what, you know, my favorite place, I guess, would be Planka Grill.
Planka Grill.
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. And you've kind of been around the whole realm of different Mexican cuisines, from that Colorado to Arizona and to UTEP and now San Antonio, the true Tex-Mex.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
That's right. Well, I'm going to throw it back on you all, though. My favorite food is Chinese. So I want to hear what your all's most favorite Chinese restaurant is here in San Antonio, because I've struggled.
There used to be a place, I don't know that it's still there, but there used to be a place down Hosman next to a Park West that was called the Rickshaw Cafe. And that was an extremely popular joint amongst students, at least back whenever I was there from 11 to 2015. Yeah,
there's one on Warsbach that I like, but I am a pretty low key person. I don't need it. Fine dining, but I'm pretty simple.
We had Jamori Robinson from the football team on. Last week, Adrian? And he threw out Taquitos West Avenue, which that is the tip of the spear when it comes to street tacos.
That's so. A poodle. That was a poodle
next
answer.
Next time you see Jamori, ask him to give you a ride to Taquitos West Avenue.
Yeah, you'll enjoy that. Absolutely. Yeah.
I had some student athletes ask me the same question on a different podcast, and I said Plank and Grill, and they said, well, what about Taco P? And I didn't know Taco Planka was referred to as Taco P. That's another good one.
I think we've had five different student athletes name Taco Planka as their favorite spot. They're doing Taco something right P. Over there.
Well, you want to be cool, Jared, you call it Taco P.
Taco P.
Taco P.
Don't date yourself. Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I do that in too many ways. For sure.
Have you had the infamous combination of barbacoa and Big Red yet?
I have not. But
you gotta assimilate.
It's fiesta season coming up. I mean, now is the best time to.
I will try that. I am a Big Red fan.
Okay. Oh, well, there we go.
There we go.
There we go.
Fanta, come on.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic.
Love it.
Lisa, we know you're busy, so we won't take up too much more of your time, and we'll give you the last quarter of the hour to reset for your next agenda item. But we really, really sincerely appreciate your time and the stories. And they're really, really fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate it. Of course.
Thank you so much.
All right. You guys take care.